welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and keep you, and then giving you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because if we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled up with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your wife. Go wake up your husband. Go wake up your children. Go wake up your niece. Go wake up your nephew. Go wake up your mama and your daddy, your sister and your brother. Wake them all up and let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. Now go wake them up. Get them out the bed, sleepy head. Get them out the bed. We're beaming the love of God from the Dallas-Fort Worth area throughout the known world, wherever the internet radio can be found. Now get them out the bed, sleepy head. Get them out the bed, sleepy head. Oh, let me go out here and get my roosters. I just need to go get my roosters. I know how to get y'all up. I know how to get you up. Yeah, I know exactly how to get you up. You be waiting on them roosters. Yes, you do. You be waiting on them roosters. You be waiting on them roosters. I got three roosters. And one of them will get you up. Benny, Red, and Crow. Yeah. They'll get you up. Benny, Red, and Crow. Mm-hmm. And see, once Red start crowing, he don't stop until I put him back up. Yeah. Thank y'all, roosters. Thank you. Let me put y'all back up. Thank y'all. Y'all, thank you, Red. Now go on back in that night, Red. Go on back. That's good enough. All right. Here's an old song called Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.
Is that all right tonight now?
All right.
Oh, Lord. I remember Malcolm Mason there. Down in Smithdale, Mississippi.
Look out, my
boy. Every Sunday morning. He would sing his verse right here. He would say, trust in him that will not leave you.
Oh!
no down in Mississippi. We didn't have no line of music back then. But you can hear the footsteps from miles away. You can hear the saints praising God from miles away. Come on, clap your hands and stomp your feet. Just clap your hands and stomp your feet. Let me tell you what you need to do tonight. This is what you ought to do. Hold on.
That's the William Brothers and Kenton Rogers all saying, hold to God's unchanging hand. That was one of my daddy's favorite songs. My dad used to sing that song, oh, hold to God's unchanging hand. And he would always tell us, y'all make sure y'all hold to God's unchanging hand. All right, that's your song for today. It's time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. We'll be reading out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20 through 22. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through that area speaking many words of encouragement to the people and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months. Because some Jews had plotted against him just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him.
Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive.
Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day, arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them,
You know how I lived the whole time I was with you?
Yes.
From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of everyone. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, some will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears.
We must remember these things.
Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Oh, yes.
When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was the statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. After we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. We sought out the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way.
Bless you, Brother Paul.
All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship and they returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the believers and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said,
"The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles."
When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered,
"Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus."
God be with you, Brother Paul.
When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said,
"The Lord's will be done."
After this, we started on our way up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of Nason, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. When we arrived at Jerusalem, the believers received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul,
"You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come, so do what we tell you. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take these men and join in their purification rites and pay their expenses so that they can have their heads shaved. Then everyone will know that there is no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality."
The next day, Paul took the men and purified himself along with them. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the days of purification would end and the offering would be made for each of them. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting,
"People of Israel, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place."
They had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was aroused and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing and some another. And since the commander could not get at the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great he had to be carried by the soldiers. The crowd that followed kept shouting,
"Get rid of him!"
As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander,
"May I say something to you?
Do you speak Greek? Aren't you the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the wilderness some time ago?"
Paul answered,
"I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please, let me speak to the people."
Having received the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic,
"Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense."
When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said,
"I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as the high priest and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly, a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, he said. Leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, Go. I will send you far away to the Gentiles.
The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted,
Rid the earth of him! He's not fit to live!
As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the commander ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and interrogated in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there,
Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?
When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it.
What are you going to do? This man is a Roman citizen.
The commander went to Paul and asked,
Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?
Yes, I am,
he answered. Then the commander said,
I had to pay a lot of money for my citizenship.
But I was born a citizen,
Paul replied. Those who were about to interrogate him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. The commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews. So the next day he released him and ordered the chief priests and all the members of the Sanhedrin to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before them.
All right. That was our scripture reading for today. We read out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20 through 22. May God bless those who heard and read his holy word. All right now, it's prayer time now, y'all. It's prayer time. It's come to Jesus time. It's prayer time. Come on, y'all, let's circle around. You know how we do it. You know how we do it. Come on, come on, come on, come on, brother. Come on, son. Come on, high school boy. Come on, come on, come on. This big teenager, you can't be too big. I know. Come on, bow your head. Come on. This ain't no take long. It ain't no take long if everybody cooperate. It won't take long. Come on, let's pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you once again for giving us another wonderful day. A day we did not earn, a day we did not merit, but it was by your amazing grace you've given us another day. And Lord, we are so thankful that not only have you given us another day, we have seen the close of another week, dear God. We are so thankful you brought us all the way from Monday to Friday, and we thank you for that, dear God. Now, dear God, we pray that you will be with us this weekend in a mighty, mighty way. Lord, we pray for all of the preparations that needs to go on there at the various churches. Dear God, we pray, dear God, that you'll be with the choir and the step team, drill teams, dear God, praise teams, dear God, as they prepare, dear God, for Sunday worship. We pray, dear God, that you will be with the cleaning crew, dear God, that they can clean the church in such a way that, Lord, we can worship you in holiness and cleanliness, dear God. For we've heard it said, cleanliness is next to godliness. And so, Lord, we just thank you, dear God. Lord, we pray for all the auxiliary workers, dear God. We pray, dear God, for the parking lot crew. We pray for the greeters. We pray for the ushers, dear God. Lord, we pray for the audio video department, dear God. Pray that all the equipment would go well. Lord, we pray for all of the musical instruments, dear God. We pray that everything would be in order on Sunday morning. Lord, we pray for our choirs and praise teams. And Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we pray that you would just anoint our singles with power on high. Then, Lord, we pray for that man of God that's going to preach your holy word. Be with him. Keep him. Give him the message that's going to transform people's lives. So, Lord, we thank you now. Now, Lord, we praise you this morning. Now, Lord, we pray for all our workers. Encourage them. Help them to finish up this day and finish up this week strong in the power and the admonition of the Lord. Now, Lord, give us traveling mercies and watch over us all day long. And we'll be careful to praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, that's it, that's it, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We done sung our song, we done had our prayer, we done had our scriptures. And clock on the wall is saying that's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you, thank you, thank you so kindly for getting up this morning, getting up with them roosters. Thank you for getting up with Benny Red and Crow. Oh, they look so... Oh, you know, when you get up in the morning, I let them know we got so many people getting up all over the world. They just feel so good. They stick their chest out and they walk with their head up. They just feel good. They're ready to get back on the job for us. Amen, amen. All right, now let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here, KLITB, is at the top of the hour. We minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So get ready, get ready, get ready for that early morning sermon. We're going to play a couple commercials then right after that. We're going to bring on that early morning sermon. All right, and then at 7 o'clock, I'll be back again with Ghostbusters. Because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood and somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room where I give you a Christian response to the issues of our day. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. That's a wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. Listen, listen, listen. If you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you got to stop by and worship the Lord with us right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. 11 o'clock, a deeper look in the book. 12 o'clock, amidst the end of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we are in your corner.